thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, super. Glad to be here. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we were talking a little bit because we had never met. This is the first time we've met. But we were discussing how it's kind of a irregularity as we have right now with all three of us that are sitting in this room right now. We're all actual Nashville-born and raised and still here and didn't come from California.
Yeah, somebody's losing a bet right now if they were betting on, you know, how many people in here would be from Tennessee. Three would not be the answer, three out of three.
We might be the only three.
Yeah.
We might be in the whole press box right now.
Absolutely.
So we're here for Lipscomb. You know, that brings up a question that I want to talk about, that as an athletic director – because there's a lot to get to that we talked about off air that I want to talk about. But as an athletic director, how tough it is with the ever-changing landscape of Nashville, you have to adapt with it. There's been a lot of change. You've obviously been here a long time. You've seen how it is. You know how it is. But every year is different, that, you know, you have young guys who are wanting to come to Nashville to play baseball or basketball or whatever the sports are, young guys and gals. And it's got to be a tough job to really get into those recruitments, but also getting into where are they coming into Nashville?
Yeah, it's Nashville overall, I mean, it's a huge plus for schools that are here already in terms of recruiting. I mean, it's an international brand at this point. And so you don't have to explain, you know, what Nashville is. You don't have to, people have heard of it. They have friends that have gone there. Tons of people love it, you know, and really internationally now. So it's a huge plus for us. But, you know, in terms of just the day-to-day as an athletic director, and you're trying to promote your programs, boy, there's a lot of competition here, a lot of sharp elbows in this town, and it's all good. I mean, ultimately, you know, the old saying, rising tide lifts all boats. And so when you have something good going on in this city and you're also in the city, I mean, it's ultimately a good thing. But yeah, it's a real challenge right now to try to promote programs and just grab attention. And that's not even to mention all the stuff that's, you know, different than it was when we were all kids in terms of, you know, online or what you can watch or on your phone or, you know, just all of that kind of stuff in terms of sports. But overall, man, Nashville is a huge, huge advantage for us. It does have its challenges, though.
And, you know, you obviously have the special side of it as well, that you're a former athlete, top-end athlete, Hall of Famer as well. So when you look at your days back at playing and then look at some of the guys that you have, obviously it was basketball, we're talking about baseball here. Sure. Now, but you see it all on both sides. You know, how different is that, just the athlete, from those days to today?
Yeah, it's a lot different. You know, I tell some people that our athletes have probably the disadvantage of having an NAI guy as the AD, because I mean, I could remember when we would put the psych lunch in the bottom of the bus to drive to the game, and that was our post game meal. And you know, they just would roll their eyes at that. Now I have another friend who played baseball for Lipscomb, and he said, you know, when he would get his hat, it would have three numbers crossed out on the bottom of the bill. That was all people who had worn that hat. He said, you only got to keep your hat when you were a senior, you know, back then. Well, now, I mean, goodness, you have to back up a truck to take home all the gear that you get these days. You know, you could just outfit your whole family with just the stuff that they get, which I love that it happens. I mean, it's great, and who wouldn't want that? But it's definitely a different day. And then certainly, you know, we have a registered dietitian in our department. We have five or six strength and conditioning coaches. We have mental performance coaches and the academic side. And I mean, it's just, there's so much more to it now. And it's all great for the athlete and the student athlete experience, but it's definitely different than it used to be.
It's night and day, really, when I look at it, because I'm 30, so I didn't get to see a lot of that coming up, but seeing how it is today and just how much that goes into it, I don't think people really have an appreciation. You know, you have obviously the mega schools out there, especially when it comes to sports, like your Alabamas, your Tennessees, that kind of stuff, and the SEC. But, you know, the smaller schools like you are in the ASUN, you still have to cater to these guys, and there is a level of precedent that's set that I know has to be such a challenge. And then on top of that, you're in Nashville competing, like you said, with all the sharp elbows.
Yeah, and then you think about, I mean, there's so much talk about the transfer portal and that sort of thing. And one thing that I've noticed is that there's so many more athletes who, whether it's because of the transfer portal and you get a lot more cross-pollination among players, or it's social media where they see so many things that are posted on people's feeds or whatever, there's an awareness. Used to be if I came on a visit, you know, to Lipscomb, let's say, from whatever the high school is in some small town, I may have my high school as a point of reference and maybe one or two other places that I went as a point of reference for my visit there. But now, I mean, I have, you know, all sorts of teammates and travel ball guys that I've played with that are telling me about what they're doing or what they've seen. I've got people who have transferred in. I've got people who are posting stuff on social media. And so, again, just the awareness level is so much higher than it used to be. I tell people, I grew up, you know, we were talking about, I grew up here. I went for the All Nashville photo shoot for the Nashville Banner, which is a paper that's not even here anymore. It was the afternoon paper back in the day. And we went to Centennial Park to get our picture made by a train engine that used to be. It may still be there. I don't know. But we went to get our picture made. And I promise you, half of the guys that showed up, I knew their name. I didn't know their face. And they were the All Nashville. I mean, that's impossible now. I mean, I would know all the guys in California right now that are All State if I was a high school player. And there were half of the guys here that I didn't even – I knew their names. I knew, oh, that guy went to Maplewood or that guy went to McGavick or, you know, Good Pasture or whatever. But I didn't even know their face. It's just – it's a totally different day. And, you know, I tell our coaches all the time, I say, you know, we can talk about back in the day, but it's today, you know. And so we better learn, you know, how to deal with today, not back in the day. And but, you know, again, it's a lot of fun, and it's what makes the job fun because it's just, you know, new challenges all the time.
Well, let's talk about one of your coaches. He's down there getting ready with your team currently, Jeff Forehand. I mean, A-Sun Coach of the Year last year. Been there, I think this is going on his 17th year. How invaluable is it to have a guy with that kind of tenure on staff that is keeping the train afloat? You know, I talk about it too with a lot with Tim Corbin. There's a lot of the baseball coaches in this area have a lot of history with their teams. You look at Belmont with Dave Jarvis. He's sure. been there 20-something years, mm-hmm. Corbin 20. And then Jeff is coming up on 20 as it is. How valuable is that guy?
Well, he's great. And, there's a lot of ways I could try to go at that question. But one thing I'll talk about is, you know, we have a golf tournament we do every year. And we have a first pitch dinner that we do as kind of the start of the season. And we had over 350 people at the first pitch dinner this year. And so many of them were former players. And I said, that tells you all you need to know about a coach a lot of times. Because, look, they don't have to come back at that point. Like, if they don't ever want to see your program again, they can just leave and be gone. And when you have just dozens and dozens of former players who come back for the golf tournament, the first pitch dinner, you know, we'll have a lot of them here tonight if they're in town or whatever. And that tells you what they think about their experience at Lipscomb. And I always say, you know, I want people when they, you know, everybody's going to put their best foot forward on the front end of the recruiting visit, but I want it when you're walking across that stage and you're getting your diploma, I want you to say, knowing what I know now, I would still choose Lipscomb. And, you know, on the back end of it. And that's, you know, Jeff's that kind of guy. I mean, he's the kind of guy that is a relationship guy. The guys know that he loves them. I mean, he's going to coach them. His dad, Freddie, is a legend here. He coached R.A. Dickey at NBA, I guess. And, you know, Freddie was known for a long time here. A lot of people call Jeff Freddie just cause in honor of his dad sometimes if they know him well. And so he's been a great asset and as good a baseball coach as he is, and he's a baseball guy through and through, but he's a better man, a great dad, husband, and that's, you know, that's what you want your athletes to see and be around.
With a lot of the young kids too that's coming in, one of the big topics that I know you have to everybody has to deal with now, especially in college sports, is NIL. Mm-hmm. What have been those kind of effects so far for Lipscomb, and where are ways that you're kind of trying to use that to build programs for Lipscomb?
Well, I mean, I don't think we have a ton of athletes who are, you know, striking big NIL deals right now. I mean, when NIL first came out, the thought was that there's going to be this car dealer over here, or this restaurant or this business is going to, you know, engage with this superstar athlete or some other athlete. And, you know, there's going to be kind of an advertising kind of transactional type thing. And that's still going on some, but not as much. I mean, where you're really seeing more of the NIL discussion right now is around the collectives, where these donor collectives are getting together, and it's allowable right now under the rules. And then they're engaging maybe with one player, but maybe with a whole group of players. Maybe it's your whole infield, or maybe it's, you know, your all your pitchers, or, you know, whatever. So And then they're finding ways to engage with them. And that's probably the thing that all the schools have to think about and wrestle with a little bit more. You know, I don't feel like we've lost a lot of people over NIL, but I will say this, our athletes, we polled, every school has what's called a SAC, a Student Athlete Advisory Council. Every NCAA school has to have it. And we have our SAC, and we asked our SAC about, I don't know, less than a month ago, like what are the things that, you know, educationally that you are wanting us to kind of help you with outside of the classroom. The number one thing was NIL. What can you tell us about that? So we brought in somebody to talk about that. And, you know, it starts with each athlete understanding, like, hey, I hate to use this word because, I don't know, I mean, sometimes you talk about your, like, your personal brand, and there's a lot of things I don't like about that. But I will say this. I do think that it has helped bring an awareness to all the athletes of, like, hey, everything I say, everything I put out there, everything I'm doing, it's kind of representative of not just me, but of the school too. And I tell athletes all the time, like, hey, if I walk into a local restaurant with my Lipscomb baseball sweatshirt on and I'm kind to the person taking my order and I throw my trash away and I, you know, am polite and all that, they say, man, what a great group of guys all those Lipscomb people are. Well, the truth is we may or may not be great people, you know, but that person was a great person.
Right.
In that moment. By the same token, it works the other way, too. If they're a jerk about everything I just said, then they say, what a bunch of jerks over at Lipscomb. Well, it may not be true. It may just be the guy wearing the sweatshirt's the jerk. And that's something that way before NIL, we talked about, we thought about, is like, you know, how we all kind of represent one another. Well, NIL has kind of forced everybody to think about that, even if only selfishly. Because now it's like, well, hey, you do that, you post that, you say that or whatever, you may or may not be, you know, probably hurting your chances for those kinds of things. And so in some kind of strange way, that may help, you know, with some of the things that you are always trying to kind of teach and preach and that sort of thing. So it's a challenge. I don't think anybody's really figured it out. I mean, I've talked with several of the local ADs here, Chris, Candace, Scott Corley. I mean, all, you know, all the ones that are around here, and nobody's figured it out yet. I mean, you're just still finding our way, I think.
Well, it's interesting too, because a lot of, I mean, your top NIL money getters, whatever that word would be, the probably better way to say it, but it really isn't based off school size. It's not really based off performance of actual, it's just your social media influence, you know, it's how many followers you have, that sort of thing, which gets into really messy detail, especially when you're talking about kids, because that's who these are. That becomes a whole new challenge. You're talking about even just psychologically.
Oh yeah. Well, this past year, our two probably best NIL prospects, if you will. One is a runner who she ran in the Paralympic Games. Her vision, she doesn't have a very good vision, so she ran in, you know, one of the classifications in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And she came to us as a freshman. She had already run in the Paralympic Games in Tokyo, came in second in the world for her classification. Well, Nissan has done a deal across the board kind of for Paralympians, or with a lot of them. And so, you know, she's engaged in that. And then to your point, we have a couple of athletes on different teams. And I'm not sure how much I can or can't say out there, but what I would say is they have, you know, tens of thousands, if not close to 100,000, you know, followers on Instagram, that sort of thing. And that is one of the big drivers. It's just, you know, eyeballs and traffic. And those, thankfully, both of those young people I'm talking about have been outstanding, could not have been better in terms of just teammates and great people and all of that. But boy, you could sure see how, you know, you run into some real challenges with somebody who's like, well, you know, I came in expecting this or that, and I had this many followers, and now I'm not getting the playing time I want, and I've lost this many followers, and that's going to cost me. And, you know, I mean, they're just, it's rife with challenges, you know. But it's, again, it's what I said earlier. I mean, you know, it's not back in the day, it's today. And yeah. So I told our coaches, you know, along with that same thing, I said, look, if somehow all of a sudden our president came in and decided, and I just arbitrarily pick a language, say German or something, you know, like I said, hey, we're going to speak German from now on, you know, like we could say, well, you know, back in my day, we spoke other languages, not just German or what, but you know what, at some point, like if that's the way it is, you got to figure it out. Like you got to learn to speak the language. Mm. And for our teams, our coaches, and not just us, but everybody that's in sports right now, it's like, hey, you just got to figure out the landscape, and and how to navigate.
So what's on the horizon right now for Lipscomb Athletics? What's in the near future and maybe even the further future?
Well, probably the two biggest things are 2003-2004 was the first year we were fully eligible for D1 competition. Lipscomb was an NAIA school since the 1930s. Well, we weren't just NAIA, but you know, all along there we were not D1. We made the decision on May 1st, 1999, to go D1. That's a four-year transition period. And so 2003-2004 was the first year we were fully eligible for postseason competition. Our women's basketball team, as a matter of fact, was the first team that ever went that year. They won the conference and went and played Vandy in Chattanooga in the NCAA tournament. So it was our first kind of NCAA appearance. Now we've had across the sports, you know, 40 or 50 different times we've been for different sports and reasons and that sort of thing. But our 20-year anniversary is coming up that next, you know, 23-24. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely – that's a great way to kind of tie in some plans for the future in terms of some of the things we'd like to do with some of our facilities. And then a lot of things programmatically too. I mean, used to be that we would just say, hey, you know, we just – whatever game we can find, we'll just go play it. We're just, you know, new program and that sort of thing. Well, now, I mean you know, if we want to keep growing the way we want to grow, I mean, we can't just go play anybody. Anyway, we've got to be thoughtful. I mean, you look at our baseball schedule this year. I mean, we've taken some on the chin, but I mean, we've also played. We played at Mississippi State. We played at Auburn. We played Georgia Tech. We played Tennessee. I mean, we played tough teams. You know, leading into this, and Vandy's another tough team tonight that we're playing, obviously. But you know, look, I mean, that's because we're not just. You know, it's not just a social outing anymore. I mean, we're competing for conference championships, for NCAA bids, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of ways that we can grow our programs. Some of them are capital improvements, and we've made a lot of those, and we've still got more that we want to do. So, a lot of them are also ways that we can help our – you know, I was looking the other day. I mean, we spend in the six figures on technology technology that helps our programs across the board, all sorts of, you know, whether it's Rapsodo or TrackMan or, you know, Connexion. I mean, I'm using a lot of, you know, brand names, but I mean, they're things that track everything from the flight of the ball to the spin on the ball to, you know, how far you've run on the soccer field and, you know, how fast you've been running. And I mean, so there's just so many ways now that you can improve programs. And really the challenge is just to say, hey, resources are not unlimited. I mean, we don't just have a pot that's unlimited, and certainly, you know, we don't have some of the contracts that some of the other Power Fives have. So where can we make improvements that will maximize athletically? And then really ultimately, I mean, I just was texting right down here below. There's a young woman that's played one of a sport for us. She's in her first year at law school right now. She's trying to get an internship this summer in Nashville. She's super sharp. Whoever hired her would be lucky to get her. And, you know, I'm trying to help her land an internship this summer here in town. And that's really the most important thing. I mean, ultimately, I've been here 14 years as the AD. I've lived here all my life. But I tell people, I've seen people that were on unofficial visits as sophomores in high school that I've now gone and watched their children play coach pitch. You know, I mean, I've been around that long. So that's a long-winded answer, but you can tell I'm pretty excited about it. I think we've got a lot on the horizon, and ultimately, you know, sports is part of it, but really what we're in the business of is trying to develop young men and women that'll have their lives changed by being at Lipscomb.
Well, I'd love to get down to that Nashville Golf and Athletic and use that TrackMan anytime. You just slip me a key.
Yeah,
all right?
don't. I'll let you. If I haven't broken it, I can tell you this: my golf game is bad enough that if it could be broken, I probably broke it. But I'd love to have you down there.
I'd be remiss not to ask this too, just because of the news that was about a month or two ago. We had Kevin Mawai on, and you're a Lipscomb Academy guy as well. Trent Dilfer out, Kevin Mawai coming in. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I've met him a couple of times. Could not be more impressed with him personally. I mean, he just seems like just the kind of guy you'd want your child to play for or be around. And I actually know some people who are faculty members at Lipscomb Academy as well, and actually probably more impressed by what I've heard from them about his interactions with them, about things that have nothing to do with athletics, but have everything to do with how he's integrating into the community, how he's embracing the role there, how he's trying to influence everybody from preschoolers on to, all the way up to the senior in high school or whatever. And so I did not know him at all, except by reputation, of course, before that. But I met him the day of the announcement, and then I was at a luncheon, and I'm at Lipscomb Academy alum, as a matter of fact, and I think he's certainly gotten off on the right foot. Trent set a really high bar in terms of athletically, but I think Kevin's certainly a guy that is up for the challenge, and again, like I said, everything I've heard and seen from my own eyes and from others is he's the kind of guy you'd want your child to play for.
There you go. Philip Hutchinson has been our guest athletic director for the Lipscomb Bison. Philip, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, it was great. Enjoyed it. Thanks.
Absolutely. We will run to a break. If you want to jump.